Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Secretary of State John Kerry is taking his final trips this week with a visit to Paris over the weekend for Middle East peace talks, as well as a final visit to London today to meet with his UK counterpart, Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson. The most traveled U.S. Secretary of State has very little to show for his efforts, really. His passionate support for the Law of the Sea Treaty came to nothing in the end. A global treaty on disability rights could not make it through the U.S. Senate. There's the persistent Syrian war. The Arab-Israeli conflict is as divided as ever. Jonathan Marcus, diplomatic correspondent for the BBC, says Kerry's vast diplomatic experience may be of limited value at a get-acquainted meeting a few days before the changing of the guard in Washington, D.C.
I think if one looks at Mr. Kerry's tenure, I think certainly viewed from this side of the Atlantic, one would say he gets extraordinary marks for devotion, for duty, for resilience, for making that extra effort in virtually every dossier that he's had to deal with. But if you look at the wider report card, the United States pretty well sidelined now in the whole Syria situation, tensions and problems with many of America's erstwhile allies in the region who felt that perhaps the Obama administration was a little bit hands-off or wasn't there front and centre when they were needed. The reset to Asia, obviously an awful lot, or the pivot to Asia, an awful lot of effort put in there, but in a sense, America continually being pulled back to these concerns, traditional concerns in the Middle East. Obviously, the Atlantic Alliance, strong measure against Russia. Yes, I think that has been better terrain for the administration. But of course, all of that now to some extent in question with the arrival of the Trump team into power in just a few days' time.
Well, certainly the Russia business is going to be completely revamped under Trump on some level. And I don't know what Kerry's going to say there. The pivot to Asia, a lot of talk there. And I think Kerry was interested in it, but I think the limits that Barack Obama put on this, or his lack of focus on Asia, meant that, I mean, in the end, I couldn't make head nor tails of the policy implications of this so-called pivot to Asia. The Middle East, I think John Kerry made a valiant effort to get settlements off the table as a way of moving forward on Arab-Israeli peace. But in the end, I don't think anyone was going to stake any capital on it, certainly not Barack Obama. The sources that I talk with say that it was the passion, the individual personal passion of John Kerry that made that Iran deal work. And that is a signature sort of achievement of John Kerry. And I don't know if that jives with the people that you speak with.
No, I think that is a very fair point. I mean, as you say, on the Israel-Palestinian peace part of the policy spectrum, nobody made a more valiant effort than John Kerry. Clearly, it was not felt in the White House that the moment was ripe to make the sort of political, dispense the political capital or diplomatic capital that might be needed. I think, frankly, that was probably correct. I don't think there's any indication that Israelis or Palestinians are on the threshold of any kind of agreement or even any real desire to restart a proper and meaningful peace process. So I think to some extent, again, it was, you know, hugely effort on the part of Mr. Kerry, but for very limited results. And of course, the administration ends with the decision not to oppose this resolution at the UN Security Council, which, you know, leaves a difficult legacy, whether people believe that it was the right thing to do or not. I think the Iran deal is an important achievement, and I think it's probably an achievement that is going to stand the test of time. I think it's going to be very difficult for the new US administration to unpick that. I think the problem, amongst other things, is that there's another side to all of this, and that's the Iranian side. Obviously, there are important political changes coming up this year in Iran as well. I think this deal is inevitably going to be part of the internal political maneuvering in Tehran. And of course, the only levers that the US has are sanctions. And as everybody has pointed out, sanctions just enacted by the United States itself are not particularly meaningful. They have to have their allies alongside them. So I think that deal may, in the end, turn out to be one of the abiding legacies of Mr. Kerry's tenure.
Kerry does go back to the Cold War in his, you know, experience in Vietnam and then his, you know, long standing experience in Congress. Maybe he's got some insights for Boris Johnson if indeed Trump decides to go back to some sort of Cold War Russia-U.S. detente in this new regime.
Well, I think clearly if there were genuine détente, which suggests a fundamental understanding between Moscow and Washington of where each side is coming from and where each side's red lines actually are, that mightn't be a bad thing. I think the problem is that clearly, leaving aside all of the dramatic revelations or non-revelations, dossiers which may or may not be untrue in whole or in part or whatever, the fact is that Mr. Trump's comments about Russia are worrying for its European allies. They're particularly worrying for countries like Poland and the Baltic Republics, who have seen what's gone on in Ukraine and worry that they might be in the Russian firing line next, or at least at some point in the future. You, of course, have this extraordinary coda, if you like, to the Obama administration, the deployment of this US armoured brigade in Poland. Only just a few days ago, its tanks began arriving on the ground in Poland. Now, is Mr. Trump going to undo these kind of reassurance measures? I think it would be really difficult to see in an administration with so many former generals, NATO really being the bugbear, as Mr. Trump says. He believes it's obsolete in one form or another. I think it would be hard to see him following through on that. Clearly, the hope is that some of the more extraordinary comments made by Mr. Trump will not be enacted into policy.
Lots to think about here in 2017. Jonathan Marcus, diplomatic correspondent for the BBC. Thank you so much.
Pleasure.